If you have your Bibles, would you open them, please, for a few moments to 2 Corinthians. And I think we're going to just next couple of weeks finish this book. 2 Corinthians will be in chapter 2 for a moment. I was out soul winning on Saturday. You never know who you're going to meet in this town. And so I was talking to someone and they said, I visited your church and I saw so-and-so attend your church. And I said, yeah, why? And they said, the last time I saw that guy, we had grabbed each other's shirts in school and we were about to be in a fight. That's the last time I ever saw him. I said, okay, all right, well, good. We'll sit on the other side of the church then. And so you just never know. If you want to get the scoop, just go soul winning. You'll find out something. And so 2 Corinthians, let's look down in chapter number 2. And we're going to look down in verse number 7. And I hope you'll just kind of keep your Bibles open and maybe use it as the contractors do. They have their set of plans and they mark on them. They write on them. They underline things. So the Bible is your set of plans for life. It's not a sin to circle something or write in it. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and humanly speaking, the Apostle Paul wrote Corinthians. He simply had it dictated from God to him. It's all God's word. But 2 Corinthians 2, verse 7, so that contrarywise ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such an one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore, I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I may know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it for your sakes, forgave I it in the person of Christ. Now, what's all that mean? We'll talk about some of this in just a second here. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for the great music we've heard tonight, the choir, opener, the special, just wonderful. We're sinners, we're saved. And then we're free at last. And the men's quartet, just so many blessings tonight. I pray that you would warm our hearts to thy word and help us hear something that would help us, please. In Jesus' name, amen. There are two books of Corinthians. The first book is Correction. Paul has earned the right to correct because he's led these people to Christ. He started this church in a pagan city. He has a relationship with these people. By the way, rules without relationship equals rebellion. If you're going to correct someone, you have to have some history with them or they don't take it well. And so here's Paul. He loves them enough to correct them. But 2 Corinthians is not a letter of correction. Paul is encouraging them, and it is a great book. He's talking about the ministry. He's saying, if you want to serve the Lord and make your life count, here's what to plan on. Here's the prerequisite. Here's what the ministry is all about. Some of you young men and young ladies that feel called to maybe full-time service, you're going to be a missionary, you're going to be a pastor, you're going to serve God on a foreign field. You need to spend a lot of time in 2 Corinthians because that's what the ministry is all about. And here's what I like about it. It's Paul giving them some good news. It's not all negative. Sometimes we need to hear some good news every once in a while. Sometimes people will say, Pastor, you got a minute? And I'll say this, give me some good news. And then they'll walk away. But that's what we want. We need some good news. Tell me something good that happened. And so Paul brings them some good news here. You say, well, what is he dealing with in 2 Corinthians? He is correcting some things. In 1 Corinthians, he is dealing with a man that's living in immorality that attends the church regularly. The Bible says he is living with his father's wife. Not just immorality, but with his dad's wife. And so Paul addresses that. Then later on in 1 Corinthians 9, someone in the church, it doesn't say who in this church at Corinth, is questioning Paul's apostlehood or apostleship. You say, well, what's that mean? The apostles could do miracles. Jesus had 12 apostles. One killed himself. Paul took his spot. He said, I'm an apostle born out of season. So though they threw the dice and selected Matthias, Paul was really the apostle. You never hear anything about that Matthias guy later. And so here's Paul. He said, I'm an apostle. He said, God's called me to start churches. And I'm in Asia. And I'm in Europe. And I'm all over starting these churches. And so someone in the church said, Paul is not an apostle. What he speaks is not God's word. What he writes is not. And so he's given Paul a hard time. So we don't know which of these people Paul is referring to here. But he corrects both of those people pretty harshly. And so the higher to the top, the less God puts up with. And so Paul is dealing with these people. So it doesn't say which one here, but that's what that passage deals with. So I want to give you four necessities in the ministry. If you're going to teach a Sunday school class, if you're going to win souls, if you're going to be a good brother, a good sister, you're going to be a role model, you're going to be a soul winner at work, you're going to pass out tracts, you're going to sing in the choir, you're going to be an evangelist, you're going to do ministry, you're going to teach a Sunday school class, you're going to help in the well ministry. Whatever you end up doing, you're driving a bus, you're working in the bus ministry, helping in junior church, doing backyard Bible clubs. If you're going to work in ministry with people, you'll never make it unless you have these four necessities. I want to give them to you tonight. Number one, forgiveness. Forgiveness. So Paul is saying, if you're going to be used a long time by the Lord, you're going to have to learn how to forgive. Notice what he deals with there. He said, 1, 2, 3, 4, four times he uses the word forgive in verse number 10. He says, look, that guy gave me a hard time. Then I had to deal with this guy living with his dad's mother, and it wasn't easy. Look, forgive those guys and move on. That's what he's telling the church. Forgive these guys. Okay, that guy gave me a hard time. This guy was immoral. All right, we got a city to reach. Man, move on. That's what Paul's saying. You're going to have to learn how to forgive people that hurt you. You're going to have to learn how to forgive people that's done you wrong or maligned your name or disappointed you, or you will never make it long in ministry. Forgiveness. It's the bridge that all relationships have to cross over. You're going to forgive, and one day you're going to need forgiveness. So if you don't forgive, you're never going to get forgiveness. It's a necessity in a marriage if you're going to be married very long. If you're going to have a long relationship, you're going to have to learn how to forgive. It was Brother Wilkerson said, a marriage is simply a relationship between two good forgivers. Because if you get married, you're going to get hurt. You ladies think we men stay up all night long plotting ways to hurt you. We don't. It just comes natural. Okay. Too many married people here tonight. It's hitting too close to home. Number one, forgiveness. Pastor, how can you tell if you know how to forgive? Want to give you this. If you know how to forgive, you don't keep talking about it. You don't keep talking about it. If you've really forgiven someone, you don't keep talking about it. God commands us to forgive. You're going to be hurt. If you're in the ministry, you're going to be hurt. You're going to be let down. You're going to be disappointed. Someone's not going to be grateful. Someone's not going to be thankful. You lead them to the Lord and they stab you in the back. You lead them to the Lord and they flake out. They don't keep going on for the Lord. They gossip about you. Look, you're going to have to learn to forgive. You say, well, why should we? Because our example, Jesus on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If you cannot forgive, you'll never make it in ministry. If you hold grudges, if you're always bringing things up, you're sensitive and you easily get hurt, your feelings get hurt, you will not make it. You cannot be sensitive in the ministry. So here's Paul right here in these verses. He said, you're going to have to learn how to forgive. And then number two, I want to give you this one. You're going to have faith to go through open doors. Look over here, please, in chapter 2 and verse number 12. chapter 2 and verse 12. I love this. Paul says, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. Notice, not every door is of the Lord. I've heard people say, Pastor, we're moving out of town. We got an open door. Pastor, I'm going to leave this church and I'm going to go pastor another church. There's an open door. You know what I found out? When you're prepared, there will be a lot of open doors. You look at Aaron Rodgers, who's pretty good at what sport's he in again? Yeah. So he's pretty good at football. You know, every team would love to have had him as quarterback. Okay, moving right along. Drew Brees, not every time. Yeah, he was only 6 foot tall. But when you're prepared, there'll be open doors. But Paul said this, an open door of the Lord. From time to time, God's going to give you an open door to step through by faith. I still remember when God laid on our heart to start a church in Oakland. That's been 19 years ago. I remember writing it in my Bible, start a church in Oakland. I would drive by every Tuesday and see that city of 500,000 without one soul-winning Baptist church in the city limits. And it just felt like, well, who's going to start it? Who's going to start that church? I remember us visiting around Lake Merritt and with a little video camera trying to prime the pump. And I remember I walked up to this fella. He got saved. And he had two silver teeth in the front, right there. Silver teeth, caps. One had a 2 on it. One had a 4 on it. He got saved, and I said, you know, you mind if I ask you a personal question? He goes, no, go ahead. I said, what's the 2 and what's the 4? He said, oh, it's easy. He said, I live on 24th Avenue. Okay. I live on Linda Vista. I didn't put it on my teeth. It's good. You don't live on Mississippi or something like that. He had a 2 and a 4. I said, and guess what? I said, church in Oakland starts at 2 and it goes to 4. So every time you smile in the mirror, it's going to say church time. I remember as we rented that Methodist building, we couldn't find anyone that would rent to us under $1,200 a month for 1 hour each Sunday. We walked inside that United Methodist Church that's pro-homosexual lifestyle. And we said, could we rent a space? They said, sure. $50 a week. The Lord opened a door. We went through it. I remember as we set up nursery, and some of you helped in those days, and you were the nursery workers, and you were the song leaders, and you were the special music. I remember as we had to walk past the rainbow flag to walk inside of our Oakland church. And they told us, do not move our flag. This is who we are. And I remember as we had to walk past the nude paintings they decided to put in the hallway to exemplify who they were. Those were wonderful days. And that church is still going. It looks like they're going to be able to buy their own property, hopefully this year, Brother Shantegan. It was an open door. Just an open door. I remember the cartoon as we started working on that Jose cartoon. Someone sent me a text from Hattiesburg, Mississippi this week. Jose cartoon in their hand. They said, look what we're passing out today. When I was in Guyana, South America, several months back, they said, all of our churches have shown that. We've been showing that for months. But someone told me, we just stepped through the door, no money. We didn't know what to do. We just started working on it. One of the men in our church said, Pastor, if God has laid this on your heart, he will provide the finances. And he did. Step through the open doors. We've had big days. We didn't know if we could have a big day. Step through the open door, our building. I still remember that encouraging banquet. All these mega churches, Brother Treber, Brother Chad, all these guys, here's what they do. They make a beautiful brochure. Here's our new building. They have the deacons meet in everyone's home. Here's the building. Here's what's going to cost. Here's the rooms. Here's how much we're giving to the building. The big banquet's coming up. Here's what our family's giving. Pray about what you can give. Well, we did the banquet just like they said. Right down the street, we rented the community center. We brought in a guest speaker. We catered the meal. We passed the plates. Someone gave us a car that was broke down. They gave us the title. It didn't run. Someone else gave us a boat that hadn't run in 3 years. It was broke down, but they gave us the title. We got a broke down boat, broke down car, and $6,000. The building was $1.2 million. Our offering was $6,000. A pastor called. He said, "Well, how'd the big offering go?" I said, "We raised six." He said, "$600,000. That's not bad." He said, "Don't feel bad. $600,000. You didn't raise at all, but man, that's good." I said, "I didn't say $600,000. I said six." He said, "$6,000?" I said, "$6,000." He said, "Whoa, we raised just enough money to pay for the catered meal. We broke even." It's terrible. But God gave us an open door and we finally got that building. And how we've used that building. Paul says here, step two, by faith, the open doors. Number three, if we're going to make it in ministry a long time, look down in chapter number 3 and verse number 18. Here we are, 3:18. He says, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord." That open glass, he's talking about a mirror. He's talking about God's word. He's saying, as we behold this book, and behold means take a long look. If we could video, and we never will, the mirrors in the men's restroom and in the ladies' restroom, here's how a man looks in a mirror. He walks in the restroom. All right, it's time for church. A lady does this. She takes a long look. She's beholding. She's changing, adjusting something. God says, we have to take a long look in this book every day. We need to take a long look and see what God wants us to change, what he wants us to adjust, what he needs us to alter. That's why we have this book. It's just a mirror. It doesn't change us. It shows what needs to be changed. If we're going to be in ministry, we're going to have to take the long look in the Word of God. And then next, look down in chapter 4 and verse 5. And we're almost to the last point, chapter 4 and verse 5. Paul says, here's how I made it. Look at this. Chapter 4 and verse 5. I love it. Oh, let's back up a second. Take the long look. I was reading about the life of Manny Pacquiao this week. We have so much in common. He said, what do you have in common with Manny Pacquiao? Same height. Okay, that's about it. And then it goes downhill from there. Manny Pacquiao, 6th grade education. Ended up becoming senator, ran for president, 6th grade education, finally got his GED. When he became a representative in their House of Representatives or a congressman, he had to take it's not medieval, what do you call it, rudimentary? What do you call it when it's below? Help me. Remedial. He had to take a remedial history class so he could find out how the government works since he was about to run the government. It helps if that 6th grader knows how to run the government. But he got saved. Guess what he did? Every 7 months, that 6th grade education boy read the whole Bible from cover to cover. Every 7 months. That's why when he sent the little video to our church that we showed you here, he said, and read the Bible. And read. Don't forget to read the Bible. He reads it every morning, reads it every night, may not know all the vocabulary, but that book's going through that man and going through that man. That's why he's preaching. That's why he's trying to share the word of God, trying to get the Bible out. Take the long look. And then we see in chapter 4 and verse 5, look at this for a moment. Oh, I love this. Chapter 4, verse 5, Paul, the great apostle, written 13 books of the Bible, starting churches, winning souls. 4 and verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord. Look at that one. Isn't that interesting? So what's he saying here? Here it is. Point number 4, fourth necessity. Remember this, it's not about you. It's not about you. That choir special tonight wasn't really about the choir, was it? It was about him. That quartet that was so good tonight, it really wasn't about them. It's all about him. And everything we do for Christ is not about us. It's not us in the spotlight. It's not for our glory. It's always about him. And then we see the fifth thought here tonight. And this is what we'll dwell for a few moments on. There's going to be some hard times. There's going to be some hard times. Look here in chapter 4 and verse number 8. Notice what Paul says. He starts listing, I would call it this, he's bragging on his bruises. It's like the NFL team. They finish the game, they come into the locker room, a guy's got a cleat mark in his arm, he's bleeding. Another guy's got a bruise on his leg. Hey, look at this. Well, look at this. Well, look at this. Flip my lip right here. Look at this eggnog on my head. They're bragging on their bruises. Paul says, it's going to be some tough times. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. If it was easy to pitch a no-hitter, everybody would be doing it. If it was easy to bowl a 300 game, everybody would be doing it. But they're not, because it's not easy. And so Paul says, it's exciting, it's wonderful, but let's talk about it. Chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Notice what he says, we are troubled on every side. Said everywhere you look, you have trouble, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. I don't know what to do, Paul said, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, we're knocked down in the fight, but not pinned or not destroyed. Paul always had an upbeat look at things. There's always something positive about it. I love that. Paul keeps going. Look down in chapter 5 and verse 1. He says, for we know that if our earthly house, he's talking about his body, of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God. Paul is saying this. He says, our body's deteriorating. You ever notice that, ladies? Boy, man, I shouldn't even bring this up. When a man goes to bed at night, he wakes up, he looks the same. When a woman goes to sleep at night and wakes up in the morning, okay, we're in chapter 5 and verse number 1 right here. Paul is saying here, he says, our bodies are deteriorating. They're falling apart. You can tell when a church is getting older, people talk more about their surgeries than they talk about the souls they're winning. Well, what broke to you? Well, I had knee surgery. Well, I had that rotator cuff. Well, hip surgery's next. And I'm having a root canal. And my hearing, I'm getting a different hearing. Man, we're falling apart. These bodies were not made to last forever. Paul says there's going to be hard times. As you get older, it's going to be harder. As this body's falling apart, it's not as easy. But you just keep going. And look down in chapter 6 and verse number 4, if you will. And he's just saying, here's what to expect, fellas. Here's what you expect. Chapter 6, 4. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience. You're going to have to be patient with God, patient with others in afflictions, necessities. There's just going to be some things you have to do. You got to clean the building every week. Got to blow the parking lot every week. Got to gas the car every week. There's certain things. It's not exciting, but you just have to do. He says, in distresses, in stripes, his back was beaten, imprisonments, tumults or riots. Paul said, in labors, it was a lot of work. In watchings, he said, I didn't get much sleep. In fastings, he said, sometimes I didn't have much to eat. How did I do it? By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness. Kindness is always in season, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the whole armor or the armor of righteousness on the right and on the left. Look at verse 8. By honor, Paul said, here's what you expect in the ministry. Honor, and then look at it, dishonor. There's going to be times you're going to be honored. Oh, wow. And other times, someone's going to try to dishonor you. Look at this one. He says, evil report and good report. They spread good news about you, someone's going to spread bad news about you. There's going to be good rumors that's going to be passed on, and someone's going to try to come up with a bad rumor and pass it on. Paul said, I've been through this stuff. Verse 9, as unknown, no one knows me here, yet well known, talking about up in heaven. As dying, behold, we live, chastened and not killed, sorrowful. I know a lot of people that are not serving the Lord. I'm sorrowful about it. Yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich. Look at all this part of the ministry here. I was thinking of Caleb Cavanaugh this week. His dad's in heaven, Brother Clint Cavanaugh. When he took a survey trip to the Congo, they were going to video some things to use for his survey trip. They could not take a canoe to the beach where he was going. They had to carry all the equipment on their shoulders as they went in knee-deep water, waist-deep water, chest-deep water, hippos in the distance, crocodiles in the distance, leeches attaching to his leg and his chest, unloading the equipment on the beach, spending the night there. He said, Dad, it's just like National Geographic. These people half naked with grass skirts are dancing around the tent. He said, it's unbelievable. It's just like we used to see on TV. He said, I'm going if I have a wife or not. God's called me. While he's on deputation, a nurse, a single nurse, moves to Victory Baptist Church in Roseburg, Oregon. Sold out to God, fired up family. He comes back and says, hey, who's this new member of our church? Well, you probably need to meet her. They fall in love. He wants to marry her. He says, we're not marrying except you come to the Congo and see what you're getting into. He said, I'm going with or without you. You're not making me stay here. She went on the trip. A lot of people on that trip, she got to wade through the water. She got to see the leeches. She got to see where she was going to live. The ministry's not always easy. It's always joyful and fulfilling, not always easy. We see a little bit further here. Look down, if you would, please, in chapter number 7 and verse 4 and 5. This is just Paul just bragging on his bruises. He said, now, here's what you need to look at. 7 and verse 4 and 5, please. Notice the last part. He says, I am exceeding joyful in all tribulation. The last part of verse 5, troubled on every side. Without were fightings. Notice what he said. Within were fears. The great apostle Paul said, sometimes I was just scared to death. I was scared to death. I got to thinking of Charles Spurgeon. Great ministry. But his church burnt down on building dedication day. Excuse me. Someone yelled there was a fire. There was a stampede in the church. Several members were killed. That was a trial he went through. Not always easy. I think of Jim Vineyard, who spoke here a couple of times years ago. Started the bus ministry in 3 great churches. He didn't say it much, but his little boy had his tonsils out and never made it through surgery. Lost a son at a very early age. Jim Vineyard did 1,000 funerals for children. He had such a heart for them. It's not always easy. It was William Booth that started the Salvation Army when it meant salvation, getting people saved. He'd stand to preach in an outdoor service as people threw tomatoes, dead animals, and rocks to hit his face as he preached. Wasn't always easy, but it was what God had called him to. Look down a little bit further, please, in chapter 10, verse 10. We're winding this down. Just want you to see it. Chapter 10 and verse 10. Notice what Paul says here. The church has said for his letters, say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak. That's what Paul looked like. Not a bodybuilder, but this weak man. And his speech contemptible. He didn't have a pleasing radio announcer voice. Maybe he had a high-pitched, squeaky voice. Maybe it was hoarse. But his voice and his appearance, he would not have been on the GQ magazine. But he just kept going. Look down in chapter 11 and verse number 23, if you will. And as you're finding that, I think of Charles Weigel. Surrendered to the ministry, going to be an evangelist. His wife said, I'm not going to be an evangelist's wife. And she left him. That's when he wrote the song, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus. The ministry's not always easy. It was David Livingstone who buried his wife, buried his son there in Africa. Lee Robertson, great ministry there in Tennessee. His daughter Joy passed away. He started the camp. Camp Joy, where all these kids could go to camp for free every year. Look down, if you will, please, in 11:23. Notice what Paul says. He says, you want the ministry? Sometimes it's going to be like this. He says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, a lot of work, in stripes above measure, in prisons, more frequent, in deaths oft. I saw a lot of people pass. If you've been in this church a long time, we've had a lot of members go to heaven, haven't we? We've had a lot. Every pew, there's a memory. Brother so-and-so, Miss so-and-so. It hurts. It's hard. It's hard to hear the doctor's reports. It's hard to go to the hospital and see people. You know, we're just praying for the rapture. But Paul said, I saw a lot of people pass away. Look down, please, in verse 24. Of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes. He said, physically, I was beaten. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. In our day, you would have said he had three car wrecks. A night and a day he spent in the ocean or in the deep. In perils, robbers, heathen, false brethren. Verse 27, weariness. He said, man, there were times I wanted to quit. Painfulness, my body hurt. Watchings, hunger. Sometimes I missed meals. Fasting, I was cold. I didn't have enough clothes for the weather. Nakedness. Verse 28, in the care of all the churches. I had to keep all the pastors propped up. That's what Paul said. I had to try to counsel these churches. Verse 33, and through a window in a basket, I was let down the wall and escaped. One night they were going to kill Paul. He had to get in this basket and came down the wall. I think of Richard Wurmbrand. We don't say much about him. Pastored a church in Romania. An old farmer gave him a Bible. He read it and got saved. He started a church in communist Romania. They jailed him and tortured him for 13 years. He came back to America. He started a magazine called Voice of the Martyrs. And he wanted to advertise and just tell the world how our brethren are suffering in the foreign fields, preaching the gospel. Wasn't easy for him, but what a guy. Let's look at this and then we're finished. Look down, please, in chapter 12 and verse number 10. Paul said, I take pleasure in reproaches, necessities, persecutions, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Look down in verse 20, the last phrase. He said, there were debates, envyings, wrath. People got mad, strife. Some people didn't get along, backbite. There was some gossip. Some people were whispering about me behind my back, swellings, tumult. Whew. Not easy. Larry Brown, I asked him years ago, and he's a wild man. I don't know if he's normal. Joe Brown's more normal. That's his son. But Larry Brown, I asked him, he said, I pastored same church 35 years in a little small town. You want to know how I made it? I said, how'd you make it? He said, I survived the quitting places. There comes times in ministry and life and marriage where you just want to quit. He said, you got to get past those. You shoot for a big day and it's the lowest day you ever had. Well, get past it. You finally sing a solo or duet. You forget all the lines and it's You're going to get past that. You teach a lesson. You can't find your lesson. And now you can't find the book of the Bible. You're soul winning. You can't find Romans. You're just going to have to get past it. It was Kevin Wynn, just an old hippie, was on a search for God. So he walked across South America with a Bible, reading the Bible, trying to find out who God was. Got saved. Ended up in Brother Hampton's church. Brother Hampton's in heaven now. Kevin Wynn came in. It was some military guys there that night. Kevin Wynn came in, sat on the back row, had his hat on backwards, sat his rear on top of the pew. He didn't sit in the pew, on the top of the pew. Brother Hampton, that ex-Marine, says, hey, sit down. Take your hat off. That was Kevin Wynn. He taught Kevin Wynn how to win souls. Kevin Wynn went off to Bible college. Nobody knew him. He got married. He moved to Mexico City to start a church. Every Sunday morning, they'll have minimum 3,000 up to 5,000 attend every Sunday morning. Started a Bible college. They've started hundreds of churches all over Mexico. Jerry Pertel flew there and said, let me teach you how to do a backyard Bible club. Their students now reach 100,000 people in 1 week doing backyard Bible clubs. That's Kevin Wynn. He finally built a house for his family, the Catholic Church, bulldozed the house. They run the nation. Several years back, Kevin Wynn was preaching on idolatry. So with his own money, he bought a sledgehammer. With his own money, he bought a statue of the Virgin Mary of Guadalupe. And he bought a local statue, not loco, but local statue of another saint. While he was preaching, he says, God hates idols! He hates idols! This is not God! And he smashes the idols. Well, it gets posted on YouTube. Bad news travels good. He starts getting all these death threats. We're killing you. We're killing your wife. We're killing your kids. We're burning your church down. You have desecrated the Virgin Mary. You have blasphemed. And oh, they were all over. Now, I don't know if he should have done that. It's not my church. Hey, chop away, Kevin Wynn. We're for you. But I know this. He's been through a lot of stuff, but he's seen a lot of people saved. If you're going through some hard times, welcome to the club. Welcome to the ministry. It's not always hard, and it's not always easy. There are seasons. Just get through it. Survive the quitting places. Let's be easy to forgive those that hurt our feelings and supposedly hurt us. Let's get past it. We have a city to reach. And the Lord will bless you.